The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
It's Hadia King, amen, who's in the house. Come on, somebody, give God a hand clap of praise. I'm always grateful that the reach of our church that's been established and everybody that's come through here, that when they come back into the city, they always feel like I got to go back home. Amen. I got to go back home to be with my church family. And to all of you who are here under the sound of my voice, God bless you and may God keep you as our hope and it is our prayer. I want to throw a shout out to Little Jay. Come on, somebody. Little Jay, who is in town, been away at the football at school and college. He's continued to excel. He looks good. And thank God for him. His father, of course, is as proud as he wants to be, and his mother. And we are proud of you as well, my brother. God bless you and may God keep you. Again, I ask for you your prayers as God leads us into these passages that I've made mention. Just in case you didn't hear it, I'll give you some time. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 is from which the word of God will come. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm going to ask that you would mark your Bibles. Amen, amen, amen. I'm just allowing I share with my musicians and my minister music from time, and sometimes people wonder if we put too much emphasis on music, but every time I stand, I'm like, I need that to help me in my spirit. I just do. And so sometimes I'm reaching out to them, and I just, you all remember before David was ever anointed as king, his gift was playing the harp. And even as cantankerous as Saul was, there were times when he would call upon David to play upon the harp to help his spirit. And there are times that I lean on these guys to help me, because I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how it appears. Anytime you stand behind the sacred desk, anytime that you get ready to proclaim a word from God, I'm calling on the power of God. And regardless of what happens before, I'm saying, Lord, I need you to uphold me with thine free spirit. And whatever you do, don't take my joy. Father God, we come in the name of Jesus, Lord, to say thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercy. To say thank you, Lord, for how good you are and how good you've been and for how good you will forever be. Father God, you brought us to this hour to hear a word from you. So as I stand as your vessel, be ever so pleased to stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my mouth. As a matter of fact, that God, hide me that you would be seen, and silence me that you would be heard. Father God, there's so much happening in and around the world, and especially this time of year, the time of year where the hustle and bustle seems to grow ever more. But Lord, we need to hear your voice like we've never needed to hear it before. We need you to even now help somebody to shut down social media. We cannot even allow that to take a break from that, dear God. It seems that has even become my mode of operating, Lord, of communication. But Lord, we need to hear a word from you. Sometimes you come as a still small voice. Sometimes you come as an earthquake to shake us. But whatever the case may be, you said, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. So speak in this house in the name of Jesus. And we'll be ever so careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. And it's in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake that I pray. Amen. If you're physically able to stand, we're going to ask that you would do so. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, the 10th verse, the New International Version of the Bible says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead, where you are going, there's neither working, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. Then Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, again in the NIV, it says, so whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So on today, with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider the subject 365 days of possibilities. You may be seated in the presence of our God. 365 days of possibilities. Amen. Before I get into the crux of the message, let me just grab your attention a little bit with a story. First of all, the story is told of a man who went to the doctor. The man told the doctor that he wasn't able to do all the things around the house that he used to do. So the doctor performed an examination, amen. And when the examination was complete, the man said, "Now, doc, I can take it. Tell me in plain English what's wrong with me." The doctor replied, he said, "Well, in plain English, you're just lazy." The man said, okay, he said, "I understand." He says, "But now I need you to give me the medical term so that I can go home and tell my wife what's wrong with me." Amen. Fresh off of our Spirit-filled celebrations of our 130th church anniversary last month and my 13th pastoral anniversary last Sunday, a lot of people have been asking me about how I feel about everything. They've been asking me what's next. What are your thoughts going forward, et cetera, et cetera. And the thing is, there's a whole lot of things that have happened over the years, amen. And at the end of the day, there are a whole lot of positive thoughts that I have and a whole lot of positive feelings that I have. And so I don't have any one single answer for any of those questions. And I never want to come off like I'm putting anybody off. But consistently what I have stated, Sister Graham, is that God is good. God has been and God is faithful. And that I'm yet still very excited about what I believe God has in store for this body, us individually and collectively. I've also stated, Deacon Miller, that in which I repeat today and I'll stress to each of you now publicly as a part of my message today, and that is, no matter what, that I will continue in my pursuit of excellence in my ministry, whether here at home and in my daily walk of life. So now as we begin, we have actually officially now begun our year going into our 131st year as a church and 14 for me as the Lord blesses me to pastor this, his flock, here at the First Baptist Church of West College Hill. I'm also looking forward, Reverend Finley, to my continued leading in the pursuit of excellence in this church, this community, and for the kingdom. You see, my brothers and my sisters, setting high standards in our lives is important for us as disciples of Jesus Christ. But let me give some perspective on what I mean when I talk about the pursuit of excellence. You see, when you begin to spell the word excellence, the first few letters of that word is excel, teach Holy Ghost. And the word excel is defined as to do or to be better than, to surpass. Now, excellence from the viewpoint of the world is defined in terms of competition, trying to surpass somebody else, usually trying to do whatever it is that the world does for self-glory or for a sense of significance or to achieve the praise and the applause of other people. That's what you get from politicians, amen. They say a lot of good things and they talk a lot about of things that they want to do for the people, but none of that really is for the good of the people. A lot of that proclamation is for themselves. Amen. That's what you get and how we get fooled sometimes by professional athletes. Professional athletes talk about wanting to excel, but when you get to the crux of the matter, too many professional athletes are out for their own glory. Amen. They're out to score the points themselves, that they forget that individuals might get achievements and awards, but teams win championships. Amen. And if we're not careful, that spirit will find its way right inside the church. We can talk a good game, say a lot of good things, talk about wanting to do things the excellent way. But if we're not careful, we'll begin to do things for a vain glory. So my brothers and my sisters, while I certainly want to get better, do better, and be better in my own daily life and for this body, that's not the perspective that I'm talking about for myself or for us as a church. When I think about the pursuit of excellence, Deacon Griffith, from a biblical perspective, it's different from the world's view of excellence. From a biblical perspective, excellence is a virtue, teach Holy Ghost. From the biblical perspective, excellence is a virtue, and so the pursuit of excellence is a direction and not a destination. I say that because some folk think that they've already arrived. They think they're already there. And that's why you got some folk in church who can't be taught. Because they think they've already arrived. They think they already know how to teach. They think they already know how to preach. They think they already know how to do this, that, and the other. And that's not what God is talking about. Excellence is a direction, not a destination. So as disciples of Jesus, excellence is something that we must continue to pursue. How long, Pastor King? Well, until God calls us home. Amen. Whether we are washing dishes at home or washing windows for a living. Come on, somebody. Whether we are running a business or running a small ministry group in church. Whether we are driving a car or driving a bus for school children. Whether you are a nurse's aide or a nursing student, whether you are delivering packages or looking to get packages delivered for UPS, the bottom line is we are to do what we do to the glory of God. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying in the 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. He says, whatever you do, do for the glory of God. Thus, the message that God has given me, that the Holy Spirit gave me to share today, is about 365 days of possibilities that we have with God and the wonderful hope that each of us have in Christ. I know that you know it, but it really bears repeating, and that is every day that we have is a blessing from God. In fact, the Bible says that we have no assurance on tomorrow. Matter of fact, we don't have any assurance on the end of the day. Come on, somebody. All we have is this moment. All we have is this time. And so we ought to make the most out of every day that God blesses us. And we need to see it as every day as a possibility to get better, do better. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that every day there's brand new mercies. Amen. Solomon reminds us here in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. He says that whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For where you're going, for in the realm of the dead, where you're going, there's neither working nor planning nor knowledge nor wisdom. Basically, what Solomon is saying is that while you're alive, I am talking to alive folk, huh? Even at a funeral, funerals aren't for the dead, they're for the who? They're for the living. Come on, somebody. So while you are alive, you and every one of you in here, you have a chance to do something special with your life. Why? Because after you are dead, your chances are over. That's it. There is no tomorrow. So since we're here, come on, somebody, and usually whenever we say that, we're talking about being here in church. Amen. That's often what we're talking about whenever that statement is made, usually from the pulpit. It's about being here in church. Since we're here, you know, since you got up, I mean, you know, since you made the effort to get dressed, since you burned up the gas in your car, good gas. Some of y'all use premium. Come on, somebody. Since you use your gas to drive here to church, since we're here, you know, we say we might as well. And it just becomes one of them passive things. But the Holy Spirit convicted me. He said, because after folk leave here and they are still here. Come on, somebody. He said, you got to start speaking into folks' lives. Amen. Because some folk don't make it here to church, but you need to speak to them. Amen. So in other words, God is saying, since we are here on this side of time, since we are still alive, Solomon says, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. Paul says, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. People who are alive have hope. We can dream. We can plan. We can have a fresh start. For somebody, you might be thinking that life has already passed you by. But since you're still breathing, come on, somebody, you still got a shot. Amen. You can make a fresh start today, right now. God has given you, all of us, that chance. Some people are always looking to the past. Some are only always looking ahead into the future. I can't wait until. And too often, we miss the possibilities right in front of our face. Because we're not looking at what's right in front of us, and that is this very moment, the right now. The Bible says, now faith, come on somebody, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's a right now faith, amen. So you got to ask yourself the question, so how do we make the most of these 365 days of possibilities? Well, as I sat on the pew and I was inspired, and I certainly was listening to everything that Bishop Henderson was saying to me, saying to all of us here as a body, he referenced the Beatitudes in this message on last week, and so I was inspired to give what I call a personal list of Beatitudes as a part of us trying some keys for us making each day a day of possibilities. So the first thing I want to show you as a beatitude is that, number one, we're going to have to be engaged. In other words, what I mean by being engaged is that we're going to have to quit watching life on the sidelines. Life is not a dress rehearsal. We got to make our lives count for God. Matthew chapter 4, 18 through 22, it says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, says that they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. The Holy Ghost gave me that one on yesterday. On verse 19, he says, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. And it says, at once they left their nets and followed him. Verse 21 says, going on from there, saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them. And verse 22 says, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Now, I don't know for sure how much time they had spent with Jesus before this incident. But what I want you to see is that they did not hesitate. The Bible says they left immediately and followed him. I'm talking to somebody. For if you're going to make the most of the possibilities that God has given you, then you're going to have to resolve. We're going to have to resolve that we aren't going to just sit on the sidelines and watch the parade or life pass us by. Jesus has called us first to come, but then he said, go. And the thing is, I need to let somebody know here up under the sound of my voice, it's besides all of the rhetoric that we hear on whatever news channel you listen to, God himself did not restrict his desires for us by our talents. He didn't restrict it by our age, our gender, our race, nor our financial status. All of us have something that we can contribute to the cause, Christ, and to the glory of God. So your first beatitude, as you tie it into the Beatitudes of Matthew 5, is be engaged. Second thing I want you to say, see here from beatitude of your day, is be positive. I believe that some people have gotten into a perpetual state of fussing, complaining, and just negativity. It becomes very difficult for them to think that anything good can or will ever happen to them. They don't look at the day with any great anticipation. They have no idea what possibilities lie at the threshold of life. Instead, they see their day as just like any other day. As a matter of fact, they see one more day as being one more day closer to death. And if I'm talking to you and you're feeling that way, let me share with you some encouragement today. You can turn it around. Some of you might be facing some tough obstacles. I'm a real preacher. I get it. All of us have issues. All of us have some conflicts. All of us have some concerns. And so you might be facing some tough obstacles regarding your job, your marriage, or just your general relationships, money, kids, family, etc. But every day is a new opportunity. And it's an opportunity for God to do something special, guess what, in your life. So why not look at each of these opportunities as a blessing from God? Heard it said this morning, it's in the book of Deuteronomy, you can look at your day as either a blessing or a curse. But you need to look at it as a blessing. The Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. So if the world has somehow labeled you a loser, the world has labeled you by your addictions, if the world has labeled you a hypocrite or somebody who is hopeless or somebody who will never make it because of the color of your skin, God sees you in the wonderful possibilities of his son, Jesus Christ. My brothers and my sisters, when you trust Christ as your Savior, guess what? You become a new creation. In other words, if you're taking notes, you can write this now. You are not what you used to be. So in other words, I need to speak into somebody. You need to start being more positive. Third thing I want to mention here is we need to be enthusiastic. Amen. In other words, we need to demonstrate joy. Jesus said in the book of John 16 and 24, I won't be on your screen, but hear it for your words. He says, until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. He says, ask and you will receive. Watch this, and your joy will be complete. Listen, I don't mean no harm, but I need to tell some of y'all, a smile will not hurt your face. As a matter of fact, you use more muscles when you frown than when you smile. Somebody check me, but I'm not sure. But I have not heard anywhere that enthusiasm has ever killed anybody. I want you to be excited about the possibilities that are in front of you. It's like if anybody has been to an amusement park, some of you on roller coaster, and if not, just think about the virtual. Being on a roller coaster and you're shouting as you crest to the rise with your hands in the air. Come on, somebody. As soon as you get there, you go, here we go!
Come
I want some of y'all that when your alarm goes off, I don't care what time it is, come on somebody, because some of y'all don't have to get up as early as some of us, but no matter what time of day, your alarm wakes you up, instead of you sitting up on the side of the bed, moaning, mad at the clock, trying to figure out how the hour rolled up so fast. I want you to get out of bed. Matter of fact, just sit on the edge of your bed. Raise your hand in the air and shout to the Lord and say, "Here we go!" Because this is a we thing. See, we're dreading getting out there on our own. We're dreading having to get up and go make the donuts. Y'all remember that old time, that old Dunkin' Donuts commercial, huh? It's 4 o'clock in the morning. Gotta go make the donuts. But you thinking about everything you gotta do on your own. Sometimes by yourself, and you be the only one. But this is a we thing. The Lord woke you up, and you need to say, "Here we go." Come on, somebody, give God a hand clap of praise. Be enthusiastic. Be enthusiastic. Another thing I want you to do as part of your Beatitudes is we need to be a servant. And again, these are just part of our Beatitudes. I don't want anybody to say, "Well, I am a servant." No, no, no. It's not about your service. It's about your attitude. Come on, somebody. Be a servant. Nothing opens the doors of possibilities wider than when you begin your day with a servant's heart. See, we only think about what we have to do to maybe be of service, but it's with a servant's heart. When you are looking forward to helping others, God miraculously provides ample opportunity for you to do just that. Those possibilities are always there. We're just not looking for them. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Again, it's not going to be on your screen, but you can write it down. It says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers. For both sides, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without even knowing it." Let's continue to be servants. And that servants with a servant's heart. And I guarantee that God will make every one of your days a day of possibility. So be a servant. Another thing that I want you to add to your list of Beatitudes is be all you can be. Now I get it. I'm not here recruiting you for the military. Yeah. I heard somebody say, "Hoorah!" But that's more than a military advertising. Be all you can be. We must give our best in everything we do. Let me share with you a couple sets of verses that I've recently started to turn to almost daily. And the verses that instruct me, and not only in that, but they give me encouragement to try my very best in everything that I do. First of all, write this down, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16, and listen to it for your hearing. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, it says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise." Verse 16 says, "Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." This is a critical instruction from Paul, that we make the most of every opportunity to live our lives for Christ. Because if we do that, then what will happen is Christ will then shine through our lives and our testimony. I mean, think about it. Hear me today. If all others see you is always complaining, depressed, lazy, moping, down in the mouth, and you say you a Christian, or you say you just left church, does that sound inviting to you, let alone to anybody else? My God. Another set of scriptures that I turn to are in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 and verse 23. Colossians 3, verse 17 and verse 23. Verse 17 says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus." Watch this. "Giving thanks to God the Father through him." Yeah, sometimes you may have to do something that's worrisome and toiling, but you thank God for every day. Amen. Verse 23 of Colossians chapter 3 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men." Amen. That's where you get that stanza, that motto that says, "Be all that you can be." Another beatitude I want to add to your list is number 6, is be a difference maker. Be a difference maker. In other words, we need to learn how to make a difference in someone's life. We need to add value to their life. What do you mean by that? Well, we must interact with people, whether in church or at work or in social settings, etc. If you are to make the most of the possibilities of your life, then we got to help others. Come on, somebody. Make the most of the possibilities in their life. And when we do that, so much more good can happen. Amen. They're not just putting each other down in the world. Folk put each other down in the house of God. So you got to ask the question, how do we add value to others? How do we make a difference in their lives? Here it is. It starts by seeing possibilities even in them. We got to quit judging people by what we see on the outside. Amen. We talked about it last week. It came in from some instructions from last week, Lady King and some others. We got to be careful. And I'm saying we do this all the time, but sometimes we do it unaware. Got to be careful. You didn't realize you done twist your nose, that you done cut your eyes, that you done smacked your lips. Amen. You probably don't even realize it. And folk are turned off or turned away, and you saying, "What's wrong with them?" No, the question is, what's wrong with you? Always seeing some, what's wrong with them? Amen. We look at persons and we think they have nothing to contribute, or that they will always be dead weight. Then we've already shot down the success of your possibilities and even theirs before you've even begun. On the other hand, if you see great potential in that person, you begin to encourage them. The potential happens is that you raise even their level of expectation. You might be surprised what that person is capable of doing. Remember, the world looked at a ragtag group of men, and all they saw was smelly fishermen, thieves, cheats, ignorant sinners, and what Jesus saw were his disciples. Amen. 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 By his teaching and encouragement, these men became more than they ever thought possible, even for themselves. Think about this. What would happen if some parents looked at their children that way? Not in the way that the world looks at our children, but in the way that Jesus looks at them, even to the point of recognizing that every child is a gift from God. What if every parent looked at their child like that? Wait a minute. What if we as a society looked at our generation, this generation, the generation we keep calling lost, the generation that we keep calling that we can't do anything with? What if we looked at this generation of adolescents, this generation of young adults, not as the world looks at them, but as Jesus looks at them? He sees potential. He sees possibility. He's not looking at how they dress. Sometimes the dress is a reflection of the attitude of themselves, but if we lifted their spirits, that might lift their pants and bring down their dresses. See, before we even address them as a person, we want to actually look at them personally. And we take it personal. How somebody is dressing. What in the world he doing with his pants down by his ankles? God has said, That's all you see. When I woke him up this morning, he's breathing. He's got some hope. That's all you see in her. When I woke her up this morning, to give her an opportunity, guess what? To cross your path to be positive. Because unfortunately, maybe when he left home or she left home, there wasn't anything positive. But we don't need any. Et tu, Brutus? If we as a nation looked at other nations and nationalities, not judging them on the fact that they don't look like us, that they don't belong here. Amen. When the Bible says that it's God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. This is his world. We're just stewards of everything that he gave us to steward. Amen. When we begin to believe in others, when we begin to speak the truth in love, when we help them to stretch beyond what even they thought was possible, when we have their best interests at heart instead of our own, then guess what? We can actually add value to one another. So be a difference maker. Couple more. Another one is be generous. Be generous with your gifts. Be generous with your praise, and be generous with your time. Some of the most successful people that I know and that you know are probably the most generous giving people. We need to be generous with our gifts, our praise, our time, and whatever it is that God has given us, because there's some stuff that God has given to us that's not for us. He just wants us to be a blessing. But you can't be a blessing until you've been blessed. Our great God, our provider, has given us the fact that we might get everything that we have, that we might be able to share with others, doing the best that we can to provide some possibilities for people who don't think that there's anything possible for them. Yes, Jesus said in that famous Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, this time you're going to drop all the way down to verse 42 when you get time. He says, give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. See, we don't read the whole Bible. We pick and choose what we want to read. We pick and choose what we want to see. So we pick certain things out, and we use it sometimes in the wrong manner. No, Jesus said, read the whole sermon. All of a sudden, you get down to verse 42, and he says, give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Matthew 10, part B, he said, freely you have received, freely you give. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. What you have in your possession is only on loan to you. Can you imagine the possibilities if you reach the realm of generosity that God himself says that you have the ability to do? Why? How does he know? Because he's given you what he's given you to give. Finally, the last thing that we need to be as far as beatitudes is just be thankful. Amen. Be thankful. It is God that makes things, all things possible. So for every possibility that God presents to us, let us forever be thankful for it. Amen. The spirit of thankfulness is what keeps us humble. It also is what gives us honor where God says honor belongs to, and that's to God. Amen. Colossians 3:15-16 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Yes. Verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalm, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. My brothers and my sisters, as we now embark upon year 131, and as the Lord blesses me with year 14 as the under-shepherd, if we're going to live for God, can I ask you a question? Why not make it 24/7? I mean, why just make it an 11-1 thing? Come on, somebody. if we're going to live for God, why not make it a 24/7, 365 thing? Come on, somebody. And why not give it your all? I mean, what could it hurt? Come on, somebody. Let me ask you a question. I mean, I know we busy, but do you have something else better to do? We need to learn to be thankful. As I get ready to close, if you've ever seen the movie Forrest Gump, then you know that Forrest had more than one challenge in his life. He was born with crippled legs. He was born with a marginal amount of intelligence. His mother was raising him as a single mom. Other kids made fun of him. He was shot in the buttocks while he was in Vietnam. I mean, you had to see the movie. Yet with all of those hurdles and challenges, he always seemed to find the wonderful possibilities and make the most out of everyone that he had. Every day for Forrest Gump was an opportunity and not a disaster. As some have said, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And I believe that exciting possibilities are ahead for you and for me. So why not make a fresh start today? Yesterday is gone, tomorrow's not promised. All we have is today. And for some of you, you already can't wait until New Year's Eve to get to New Year's for you to make your New Year's resolutions. But what about the rest of this year? What about right now? Why are we presuming on what we think we're going to see tomorrow? God says, you can start that right now. Whatever you think you want to wait to start, he says, do it now. There is a contagious enthusiasm and a way that we are to live our lives for Christ. When someone is excited about life, others around them tend to get excited. But misery also loves company. And when others are miserable about their lives, while you even sometimes trying to do your best job to encourage somebody, it will sometimes bring you down. Have you ever said, don't look around, but have you ever said that hanging around some folk messes with your joy? It just brings you down. It saps all the energy out of you. But enthusiasm can be contagious. Life can become infectiously joyful and filled with hope. If we, those of us who say we have hope, because we have hope in Christ, can exemplify that. No, I'm not saying that our lives will be perfect. Of course not. But our lives will be full of the joy of the Lord. If you say that you are a Christian and you're living for God, then do me a favor, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Then live for God. Amen. I mean, that's what you say. That's what we say. Then do it. Then live for God. Give him your all. He deserves it. Don't hold back on anything, not anymore, that you do for God. Don't put off living someday in the future, even if it's on tomorrow. Start living now. Amen. Start living alive now. Enjoy this life. Enjoy today. Thank God for your yesterdays. Thank God for your down through the years. And if God blesses you to see some more, then praise God. But don't waste right now. We're here now to celebrate the goodness of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Take some time, not just here at Thanksgiving, but even for this time of year, take some time to enjoy your family, your friends, your loved ones, and each other. For even this time of year, we remember some folk who started out the year with us and have since been called home to glory. We also remember this time of year when maybe this time last year, they were here to celebrate maybe your Thanksgiving or maybe your Christmas, and God has since called them home. So you have precious memories, amen. But while you have some loved ones here, even if it's a text, but don't just send a text, reach out and make sure. I heard somebody say they want their flowers while they're living. Amen. I'm always amazed at the number of flowers that just lace the altar at funerals. And they are beautiful flowers, bouquets and baskets and planters, etc., etc. And the only people that can see them are the people who come at the funeral. We need to make sure that we're showing our family, friends, and loved ones, even some folk that you cut off your list. How dare you? You didn't wake them up. You didn't die for them. And you're not the giver of their life. So how dare you cut somebody off your proverbial list? What if God cut you off his? You done scratched some folk off your Christmas list, but you still expect your name to be in the book of life. Be careful. Be careful. With God and with the remaining days of this year and into the new year, if the Lord allows us to see it, these can be some phenomenal days. And that becomes my answer to the question. I'm grateful for all that God has done, but I'm yet expectant of what God still has yet to do, because it still does not yet appear. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man what God has prepared, what God has in store for those who love him. And that's what I believe. Amen. Believe that with God in the remaining days of this year, this could be phenomenal if we dare to encounter the possibilities by daring to encounter the Most High God. Amen. Please stand while the doors of the church are open. There are some that I'm talking to today here.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.